Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This broadcast is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we continue with the sixth part of our series of programs entitled The Vatican in Europe. We will discuss more about these programs after we've had some music.
Thank you.
the Vatican and Europe. We continue with part 6 of this important subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Over the course of a number of weeks, we are discussing the following. Where in the Bible do we find the Vatican mentioned? Where the Bible shows the Vatican's roots come from? Why Jesus mentions about the Vatican in the Bible? How long Jesus predicted that the Vatican would rule for? And what lessons has Jesus for us about the Vatican today? In our study last week, listeners, as we studied the records of the Bible and the religious history of the past, we learned that through the teachings of the devil's disciple, Simon Magus, the religion of 666, of sun worship, of the serpent god, Satan, began entering into the Christian church. We learned that through the Gnostic religion, founded by Simon Magus and his followers, it eventually grew into the system of religion called the Roman Catholic Church. We also learned that the name Vatican means divining serpent, because the religion of the Vatican is the religion of the serpent. We will now study this week to see how satanic teachings have permeated from the Vatican into Europe, and from there have dispersed into the whole world. Let us pray as we start our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, once more we thank you for Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio, streaming live on the internet. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to study your word, that your Holy Spirit may be with us and teach us those things that we need to know in order for us to be saved. It's my prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Vatican and Europe, Part 6. How the religious teachings of the Vatican spread into Europe. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verses 7 to 9, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." We read in Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 to 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." The Bible records that after rebelling against God and trying to overthrow his government, Lucifer was defeated by Michael, Christ, and was cast out to the earth. His name is now Satan, the adversary, the enemy of God and man. Satan has always wanted to be God and to be worshipped as God. Therefore, now, as God's enemy, he seeks to overthrow the worship of the true God on earth and place himself as the center of men's worship. We read in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1 and chapter 23 and verses 4 to 5. "Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. In the book of 2 Kings, we read about King Josiah's reign in Israel. Notice what King Josiah did when he reigned, listeners. He carried out religious reform in the kingdom of Israel. He took out of the temple of God all the vessels that were made for Baal, Baal being the chief pagan god that the idolatrous priests in Israel worshipped. King Josiah also took out of the temple of God all the vessels that were made for the grove and the host of heaven, the host of heaven being the planetary demon gods that the idolatrous priests worshipped. And here is where this Bible passage is so significant. This record in the book of Kings is placed in the Bible so that we can detect how Satan seeks to enter into God's church and to overthrow the worship of the true God. Wherever the religion of 666, the religion of sun worship, and the worship of the planets is found in God's church, and wherever are found leaders in God's church who teach and practice this religion, it is in these churches that we know that Satan has entered in with his followers to war against God and his people. Now, before we look at how the teachings of the Vatican have spread into Europe and why we need to know this today, let us look at who this pagan god is called Baal. As we will see, Baal worship is intimately linked with the founding of and the development of the Vatican. As we studied last week, listeners, paganism is a system of religion where its followers seek to find mystical enlightenment and spiritual knowledge by the power of the forces of the universe. It is a system of religion that is not centered around the worship of Jesus Christ, the Creator and Redeemer of mankind. It is a system of worship centered upon the things that Christ has created, and it rejects Christ's word as the rule and guide of life. Now, this god called Baal had to be a representative of Satan, as Baal worship, as recorded in the book of Kings, for example, had all the elements of satanic religion connected with it. As we continue with our study tonight, let us read from pages 17 and 28 of a book called The Antichrist 666 by William Josiah Sutton. We read as follows. History says that Ninus, the first king of Nineveh, was Nimrod, the great grandson of Noah. The name Nineveh means the habitation of Ninus, and the scriptures say that it was Nimrod who built Nineveh, Genesis chapter 10, 11. Ninus, Nimrod, was the first mortal to be deified or made a god at his death, and was the actual father of the gods. This pagan belief of kings being deified at their death was adopted from Mesopotamia to Egypt to the North and South Americas. To the first inhabitants of the world after the flood, Nimrod, Ninus, the first king of Babel, his queen Semiramis, and their miraculously born godchild Tammuz, the son of the sun, was the first pagan trinity. So listeners, the worship of the pagan trinity of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz was set up in the world by Satan as a counterfeit of the worship of the true Godhead in heaven. Here we see the origin of the worship of the dead. Here we find the origin of ancestor worship. When the Lord demolished the Tower of Babel and scattered the inhabitants of Babel, the people took the pagan religion of Nimrod with them all over the earth. This is why paganism is based upon the same fundamental system of religion in every country of the world. In the time of ancient Israel, Nimrod, the father of the pagan gods, was worshipped as Baal. His wife Semiramis, the mother of the pagan goddesses, was worshipped as Ashtoreth, and his son Tammuz was the pagan messiah worshipped as Tammuz. And so, the idolatrous priests in Israel and the followers who worship Baal were in fact worshipping Nimrod and his family. And by worshipping Nimrod and his family, they were worshipping Satan, the demon who inspired Nimrod and his family to rebel against God. Many leading scholars of the worship of Nimrod have discovered that whether he is worshipped as a black god or as a white god, this system of pagan worship of his centers upon all the corrupt and rebellious acts that sinful men can commit against the God of heaven. As we studied in our previous radio series of broadcasts, paganism is based around sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship. The religion of Nimrod, wherever it is found, degrades its followers because it endorses sinful acts. It is contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which through the power of the Holy Spirit destroys sin from the human heart and restores man into God's image. Christ came to give man the power to obey the law of God, while Satan seeks to lead man to rebel against the law of God. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ has continually sought to keep his church pure from this religion of Baal, Nimrod's satanic religion, because it demoralizes God's church. As we follow on from our study in part 5 last week, listeners, the reason why we need to understand that Simon the Magus was the founder of Gnosticism, and thus the founder of the new system of religion that grew into the establishment of the Vatican, is so that we can understand how the headquarters of Satan's mystery religion of sun worship, the religion of 666, passed from the ancient Babylon to pagan Rome and then to papal Rome. Paganism, or the mystery religion, is a system of religion where the priests and adepts are the only ones who claim to have secret knowledge. All pagan religions teach their followers that they need to be initiated into the mysteries in order to gain spiritual growth. We learn from Taylor Woodrow in his book called Babylonian Mystery Religion. According to the old tradition, Nimrod was the opener of secrets or mysteries, the firstborn of deified human beings. The word translated openeth in verses such as Exodus chapter 13 and verse 2, as Strong's exhaustive concordance points out, is the Hebrew word Peter. Since the Apostle Peter was known as Simon Peter, it is interesting to note that Rome not only had a Peter, an opener or interpreter of the mysteries, but also a religious leader named Simon, who went there in the first century. In fact, it was the Simon who had practiced sorcery in Samaria, Acts chapter 8 verse 9, that later went to Rome and founded a counterfeit Christian religion there. That's Babylonian Mystery Religion, pages 81 to 82, by Taylor Woodrow. From the time that Noah's great-grandson, Nimrod, lived, and from the time of the scattering of the human race across the earth, after the Tower of Babel, Satan has always sought to set up, through the interpreters, or Peters of his religion, a religion that is a counterfeit religion of the true God. So, now listeners, we pray that you can see why we needed to study about the history of Simon the Magus, or Simon Peter, the pagan interpreter last week. We pray that you can see why it is important to understand that Simon's system of religion, Gnosticism, a religion that is a mixture of Babylonian witchcraft and Christianity, formed the basis of the establishment of the Vatican. History testifies that Satan used Simon Magus and his followers to adulterate the Christian religion with the mystery religion. This caused people to misunderstand and to deny Christ's work for them as a personal saviour within the professed Christian church. After the break, we will give examples of how the mystery religion of Satan, the religion of sun worship, has been taken into the Christian church through the Gnostic teachings of the Vatican. These spread throughout Europe and from there to the rest of the world. We will have a break and continue with our study afterwards.
Voice in the Wilderness is a gospel ministry that was established in 1992. From small meetings of prayer and Bible studies, it grew into a national outreach resource and has since grown over the years into an international ministry that not only carries out evangelistic work through books and tracts and videos, but we also conduct prophecy seminars, health talks, religious liberty meetings, and carry out publishing work. Today, utilizing the latest electronic and printed media, our work has expanded and spread abroad around the world. In Africa, North, South, and Central America, Australia, the Caribbean, and Europe. We are a non-profit organization, and our work is supported by the prayers and goodwill of the people. If you would like to join our mailing list or offer prayers or give financial support, please contact inquiries at wildernesspublications.org, or you can call 440-7962-388-445 for more information. Visit our online bookstore at www.wildernesspublications.org. Visit our radio station website at www.vitwradio.org. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to listen to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio.
Listeners, let us now review and compare the doctrines of Baal worship and compare them with the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. Baal worship teaches the nativity of the sun, the birth of Tammuz on December 25th. In Catholicism, you have the nativity of Jesus, Christmas, December 25th. The Midsummer Festival, held June 24th, was termed the Nativity of St. John, held June 24th. The Assumption of Semiramis, who became the Mother Goddess, became the Assumption of Mary, who became the Mother of God. The Mother Goddess, worshipped as the Queen of Heaven, see Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18, became the Virgin Mary, worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. Cakes dedicated to the goddess with a T drawn on it, see Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 17 and 19, became hot cross buns with a cross drawn on it. 40 days fasting for Tammuz, see Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14, became 40 days of Lent. The festival of Easter, see Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, became still the festival of Easter. The resurrection of Tammuz at Easter and the procession of graven images during Holy Week became the procession of graven images of Jesus, Mary, and Peter during Holy Week. Veneration of graven images of Baal, Ishtar, Tammuz, and lesser gods in the heavens became the veneration of graven images of Jesus, Mary, Peter, and of the saints. The belief in immortality of the soul and burning place of torment still remained the belief in immortality of the soul and burning place of torment. The doctrine of purgatory still in the Catholic Church remains as the doctrine of purgatory. The belief of the dead visiting the living, the feast held in November, All Souls Day, is still the festival of All Souls Day, held November the 2nd, and All Saints' Day, held November the 1st. The burning of incense, see Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 17, and Ezekiel 8, verse 11, is still the burning of incense and candles in the Roman Catholic Church. Chants and repetitious prayers, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, is the Rosary and Hail Mary. The symbol of the cross, as a symbol of the sun, is the crucifix. Amulets and idols to scare away evil spirits is the wearing of crucifixes and images displayed for protection. The round disc wafer, IHS, symbol of Isis, Horus, Seb, eaten as food for the soul, is the wafer used in the Eucharist, and it's round with IHS engraved on it. The painting of the child and mother with the glory of the sun around their heads, the painting of the child Jesus and Mary with halos or a glory of the sun around their heads. Infant baptism, sprinkling and holy water still remains as infant baptism, sprinkling of holy water. Necromancy, the worship of the dead, is mysticism in the Catholic Church. The first day of the week, Sunday, kept sacred to honour Baal, the change of Sabbath to Sunday. Pontifex Maximus, named for chief head of the pagan Babylonian system of idolatry, is Pontifex Maximus, one of the first names for the Pope. Janus and Sybil, holders of the keys to heaven and hell, the Pope claims to have the keys of Peter. The high priest kings carried on a throne to the temple of his God, is the Pope carried on a portable throne to the Basilica of St. Peter, Sedia Gestatoria. The pagan high priest king, believed to be the incarnate of the sun god, the Pope pretends to be Christ's vicar here on earth. Offerings to appease the gods, its penance, indulgences, salvation by works. Houses for the virgin priestesses to be employed at pagan temples is the nuns. And human sacrifices burned by fire as offering to appease the sun god are individuals opposing the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church who are burned at the stake. For more information, see the Antichrist 666, pages 206 to 209 by William Josiah Sutton. We sell this book on our online bookstore. So listeners, as we have read, there is not a nation under heaven that has not been influenced by Nimrod's system of sun worship. As the Roman Catholic Church has grown into power and has spread across Europe and across the rest of the world, it has taught these doctrines of sun worship to its followers. It would be an injustice not to mention the teachings of Augustine, which have permeated throughout the Christian world through the influence of the Vatican. Among these teachings are the concepts of the Immaculate Conception, original sin, predestination, and other multitudinous errors that have grown out of these concepts over the centuries. Augustine lived from 354 to 430 AD. He was in the Manichaean sect, Manichaeism being a Gnostic religion. See the Encyclopedia of the Occult, pages 184 and 185 by Lewis Spence for more information. Now, Augustine converted to Roman Christianity. Gnostics themselves state, Aurelius Augustinus is also known as St. Augustine of Hippo, or Augustine, and lived from 354 to 430 of the Christian era. He is one of the most important Christian writers and philosophers, instrumental in the merger of Greek and Judo-Christian traditions. St. Augustine is a patriarch of the Gnostic Church. And that's taken from Glorian Publishing, a non-profit organization promoting Gnosticism. As Augustine's Gnostic-based philosophies became incorporated into the Roman Catholic Church over time, some of these were also incorporated by men who left the Catholic Church, like Calvin, who in turn influenced other Christian theologians to incorporate some of these ideas. But of all the errors that Augustine taught, the concept of original sin is one of the most dangerous concepts to have been incorporated into Christendom. As we conclude our study this evening, I will quote from pages 62 and 68 from the book called The Evangelical Dilemma by Colin and Russell Standish. They explain why this concept of original sin is so detrimental to the salvation of the human soul. We read, "The concept of original sin was popularized in Augustinian theology. This concept held that we not only inherited the weakness of Adam and the natural tendency and inevitable inclination to follow into pathways of sin, but we are also actually condemned for the sin of Adam. The early church fathers contained nothing very definite about original sin. It is especially in Augustine that the doctrine of original sin comes to fuller development. According to him, the nature of man, both physical and moral, is totally corrupted by Adam's sin, so that he cannot do otherwise than sin. This inherited corruption of original sin is a moral punishment for the sin of Adam. That's from Lewis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Erdmann's Publishing, pages 244 to 245, quoted in this book. As we continue, we read from Peter de Rosa, Vicars of Christ, Corgi Books, 1989, page 452, also quoted in this quote from Colin and Russell Standish. It reads, "The Jesuit professor, Dr. Peter de Rosa, has recorded that in this, Gregory, that's Pope Gregory VI, took St. Paul literally. In Adam all have sinned. This means from the first moment of a person's existence there is guilt. This is not a personal taint, but a taint of nature, and so unavoidable. The nature derives from the parents. From the beginning, the baby's soul is polluted by this original, this inherited sin. Gregory was not blind to the problems this raised. For example, parents were cleansed from original sin in baptism. How could they hand on original sin to their babies? He answers, though holy themselves, they handed on corrupt nature by sex, desire galvanized by lust. Babies are born as the damned fruit of the lust of their redeemed parents. From the first they are the offspring of Gehenna or hell. They are just the children of wrath because they are sinners. If they die unbaptized, they are condemned to everlasting torments for the guilt of their birth alone. Existence is itself a state of sin. To be born is to be qualified for eternal punishment." Now the Standishes continue, "No text more quickly destroys the original sin concept than those texts, which declare that no one will be lost for someone else's sin. When Moses expressed his willingness to be blotted out of the book of life, if it could save the children of Israel, God's answer was explicit. And we read in Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 to 33, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." The prophet Ezekiel sets forth exactly the same principle. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it reads, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." The human race has not inherited the guilt of Adam, because each person is responsible for his own sin. He neither bears the guilt of another, nor does another bear his guilt, except it be Christ who bore the guilt of sinners upon Calvary. To teach otherwise is to diminish man's own guilt and has the effective result of absolving man from the responsibility to avail himself of the fullness of the power of the gospel to seek God's full restoration of moral strength. So listeners, here sums up the reason why the devil has set up the mystery religion of 666, of sun, sex, serpent, and Satan worship on this earth. Here sums up why he has sought to incorporate this mystery religion into all the Christian churches established since the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed by the apostles. Satan is seeking to keep every human being upon this planet from receiving the fullness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in order that they do not receive moral strength from God to resist sin and evil. But whatever Satan plans, he still is only a creature and not our creator. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. He has eternal power, equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He sends this message tonight through his messages throughout the world to enlighten those that are in darkness. To all listening tonight, this is your chance to understand why we have the battles that we have in the religious world. We read in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." This is the message that Christ is sending to all of his people who are in the religious bodies that are teaching sun worship. He is calling all to repentance before it is too late to escape the plagues that God will send upon this earth to destroy the wicked who rebel against him. So listeners, before we round off this evening, we'll have another break and come back with our closing thoughts.
I stand in wonder.
For our closing thoughts this evening, I will read from page 60 from the book The Great Controversy Between Christ and Satan by Ellen G. White. It reads, "The noontide of the papacy was the world's moral midnight. The Holy Scriptures were almost unknown, not only to the people, but to the priests. Like the Pharisees of old, the papist leaders hated the light which would reveal their sins. God's law, the standard of righteousness, having been removed, they exercised power without limit and practiced vice without restraint. Fraud, avarice, and profligacy prevailed. Men shrank from no crime by which they could gain wealth or position. The palaces of popes and prelates were scenes of the vilest debauchery. Some of the reigning pontiffs were guilty of crimes so revolting that secular rulers endeavoured to depose these dignitaries of the church as monsters too vile to be tolerated. For centuries, Europe had made no progress in learning, arts, or civilization. A moral and intellectual paralysis had fallen upon Christendom. The condition of the world under the Romish power presented a fearful and striking fulfillment of the words of the prophet Hosea, 'My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, and killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood.'" That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, 1 and 2. Such were the results of banishing the word of God. Thus were the results of the Vatican's influence, which led to the Dark Ages in Europe. And I would like to ask listeners, are any listening in tonight who are living in their own spiritual dark ages? For if a person believes that they cannot gain victory over sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, if any believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came in a different human body than our own, if any believe that you can sin and live and still be saved, and that there is no such thing as perfection, then you are still living in the spiritual dark ages. Why? Because light comes not just through reading the Bible, but by receiving its truths into the heart and allowing its truths to be a living power in the life. We read in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We also read in Psalm chapter 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever." It is spirit-filled obedience to God's word that brings true spiritual enlightenment. We cannot grow spiritually through the philosophies of pagan science. We can only know Christ by living by his word, by receiving the Holy Spirit, by experiencing his love and power in our hearts for ourselves. It is only then that we can truly know what the true light is, the true light of God's presence. As we continue with our study next week, listeners, we will learn how the Lord used Great Britain to be the battle axe of Protestantism, as it fought back the moral darkness that was enveloping Europe through the Vatican. Here, seeds were sown that helped usher in an age of freedom of thought and moral and spiritual development based upon the pure teachings of God's holy word. So let us pray to close our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. I pray that all who have listened to this study this evening will take the time to study out these matters for themselves, and that each and every one of us will look into our own hearts and to see if we are following the religion of Baal or if we are truly following the religion of the true God as found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, I just commit all these matters into your hands, and I pray and ask for your blessing to be upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you'd like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wilderness publications.org. You can also listen to and download our radio program podcasts at https://voice-in-z-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. On next week's program, we will continue with part 7 of this series of radio broadcasts called The Vatican in Europe. Well, that's it for tonight's radio broadcast. Until next week, good night and God bless the listeners.
Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.